Our scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll be reading verses 50 to 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. This is the word of our Lord. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May God bless this word to our hearts. You know, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a good home. My dad was a hard worker. My mom was a good mom. And eventually, both my mom and dad, my mom rededicated herself to the Lord. My dad came to know Jesus as his Savior. That was during my teenage years. But I did not grow up in a Christian home. And yet, even with that, Easter was always really special and big. Easter was just always a big holiday that we would celebrate. Some of you are from Philadelphia, and you've been around the block a few times. I remember every Easter, my mom would go to the old Lip Brothers department store, and she'd buy these gigantic coconut cream eggs. You remember them? And we always looked forward to that. Only happened at Easter. And then we used to go down to the old Robert Hall. A store, men's store, men and boys store on Frankfort Avenue. There's a Wawa there now. And we used to go there, and I'd always get my Easter suit every single Easter. And we used to go to a church on Easter Sunday. But again, I didn't understand the real meaning of Easter. I just thought of Easter as the time of year that you get coconut cream eggs from Lip Brothers and you buy a new suit at Robert Hall. But then I came to know Jesus. When I was 15 years old, through the ministry and outreach of Holmesburg Baptist Church, not too far from here, I heard about the gospel, heard about Jesus, his love for me. He died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and I became a Christian. I trusted in Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then I understood the true meaning of Easter, that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Now, thankfully, my mom still got the coconut cream eggs. Happy for that. But I really knew and understood the heart of Easter, that it was a day to celebrate, to rejoice, to just really be happy about, because Jesus is alive. He's no longer dead. And yet, you know, as time has gone on, I've asked myself, why is the resurrection so important? We get all excited about it. Many people still go out and buy all new clothes for Easter Sunday. And we celebrate Easter in church. We sing hymns, great hymns of faith. We get flowers, lilies, and things like that. Why is the resurrection of Christ so important? Why is it so significant? And so this morning, I want to just unpack with you five reasons why the resurrection of Christ is so important and why it is something for us to get excited about and to celebrate. The first reason, if you would turn to Romans chapter 1. If you have a Bible, you can use the Pew Bible. Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. Paul writes, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. And then listen to this. And who through the spirit of holiness was appointed, other translations say declared, was declared to be the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first reason why the resurrection is so important is that it proves that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. It proves that Jesus is who he said he is and that he did everything that he said he would do for us. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he made some pretty bold claims. He said that I am the Son of God. He said that I have the power to forgive sins. He said that before Abraham was, I am. In other words, Jesus claimed to be eternal, the eternal God who's always existed. Jesus claimed that he had authority over Satan himself. Jesus made all these amazing claims about himself and who he is and what he could do. Now, we're left with three options about Jesus. Because again, he made these bold claims. Three options as to who Jesus really is. He's a liar. He's a liar. And when he said these things, he's lying through his teeth. Or he's a lunatic and he's crazy. Like if I were to stand before you today and say, listen, we're going to start a new religion. We're going to start a new cult. We're going to call ourselves the Bobites. And our sacred bread is going to be baboli. You know, that bread in the supermarket. And you're going to follow me. We're going to have this religion. And guess what? I'm going to die and come back to life. Now you would think, I'm crazy. And you'd have every reason to think that. And then when I died and stayed dead, you would say, see, the guy was just nuts. Because he's dead. Jesus said that no man takes my life from me. This is John chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it back. So Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is who he says he is. And the resurrection proves that he is who he says he is, because he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. And as Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, he was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. You know, you all know I have heart problems. And as he said, Jesus said he has the power to lay down his life and he has the power to take it back, to raise himself from the dead. Now, if right now, if I were to go into cardiac arrest and fall down before you, I'm not planning on it, but if I were to do that, you're not going to see me up here giving myself CPR. You're not going to see me going, ch-ch-ch. It just isn't going to happen. I'm going to stay dead. But Jesus, he did not stay dead. He rose from the dead, and he was declared with power to be the Son of God. So the first reason why the resurrection is so important is that it verifies, it proves, it declares, it demonstrates, it confirms that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is the Son of God, God come in the flesh. Because no one brings himself back from the dead. And all the religions of the world, and there are many, all the religious leaders, when they died, they stayed dead. Some of them, we know where their tombs are. When they died, they stayed dead, and their bones, their remains are still in the tomb. You go to Israel today, you see the empty tomb of Jesus, but there are no remains. He's gone. He's risen from the dead. So that's the first reason why the resurrection is so important, that it declares and proves that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. Second reason why the resurrection of Christ is so important. One of the things that Jesus said was that I have the power to forgive sins. I have the power to forgive sins. And we read in Scripture that the wages of sin is death, that sin always results in death. And the Bible teaches that when Jesus hung on the cross, that he took your sin and my sin upon himself. He who knew no sin, that is Jesus, became sin for us. That he was our substitute. That he took our place on the cross. That God judged Jesus, judged our sin as it was placed upon Jesus. And again, the wages of sin is death. Jesus said, I have the power to forgive your sin and to make full atonement for your sin so that you don't have to suffer hell for your sin. Now, if Jesus stayed dead, then how do we know that he paid for our sin? If Jesus stayed dead, it would seem like sin had beaten Jesus. That he said, I'm going to die for your sin. I'm going to take your place. I have power and authority over sin. But if he stayed dead in the grave, then that tells me and that tells you that sin defeated Jesus. It conquered him. There's another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our scripture reading was part of 1 Corinthians 15. This is another section of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 9. And Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So the resurrection of Jesus proves that he did conquer our sin. He did defeat our sin. He paid in full for our sin. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, one of the seven last words was, "It is finished." And that meant that he has made full atonement for your sin, for my sin. He has paid in full the wages of sin by dying on the cross for you and me. He said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished," because he was going to rise from the dead. And that is his declaration to you and to me that our sin has been paid in full, that he has conquered our sin. And that if you place your faith and trust in Jesus, you do not have to suffer the wages of your sin and be separated from God for eternity. But that if you have trusted in Jesus, you have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. So the second reason why the resurrection is so important, it demonstrates that Jesus has in fact defeated and taken care of our sin problem. Third reason, and this is again going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The resurrection of Christ proves that Jesus has defeated death. It proves that Jesus has defeated death. Our scripture reading we read this morning was 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58. There's one phrase in there I want to pull out. Look, if you would, in verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, that's talking about our resurrection, our resurrected bodies, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I love that phrase, death has been swallowed up in victory. When Jesus died and rose again from the dead, he defeated death for you and myself. You know, years ago, I think it was one of the Star Wars movies, and it might have been the one where where you have Jar Jar Binks, and they live underwater in this city that's protected by a big bubble. But I think there's a scene where you have some of the heroes, the main characters, in this little submarine, and they're underwater. And all of a sudden, this gigantic fish with these huge teeth is about to eat them and just crush their submarine and swallow them. And they would die. And they see it, and they're terrified. But then at the last minute, a bigger fish comes along, and he swallows and eats the fish that's about to swallow and eat the heroes in this little submarine. And that's how I think of Jesus. That here is death, and death wants to swallow you and me and take our lives without hope, without the promise of eternal life, without the promise of a new body one day. But then Jesus comes along, and he's the bigger fish, and he swallows death. Death is swallowed up in victory. And so you and I no longer have to fear death. You know, I'm not afraid to die. Now, I'll be honest, not crazy about the process of dying, because that can be filled with pain and suffering and discomfort. But I know that the moment that I die, the moment I leave this earth, that I will see Jesus face to face. I'll be in his presence. You know, I've had 3 open heart surgeries, and each one, when I woke up after the surgery, and you're intubated, you can't say anything. But when I woke up and I looked around and I saw my wife Marcia and I saw all the equipment and all that stuff, I knew I wasn't in heaven. That this was not heaven. No offense, Marcia, but you do not make heaven. It's bigger than you. But when I die and I open my eyes, I will see my Jesus. And I'll know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm with the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, or rather 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verses 1 to 8, it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so Jesus, when he rose again from the dead, that was his declaration to you and me, that he has swallowed up death like that big fish, and that we now have the promise of eternal life. We now have the promise of a brand new body one day to go with our spirit. So the resurrection of Christ proves that Jesus has, in fact, defeated death. There's a 4th reason why the resurrection is so important. The first 3 reasons are promises that God gives us. The promise that he is the Son of God, or proofs, I should say, proof that he is the Son of God, proof that he has paid for our sin, proof that he has defeated death. The next 2 reasons have to do with assurances that the resurrection gives you and myself. The resurrection of Christ assures us that what we do for the Lord in this life counts both for now and forever. The resurrection of Christ assures us that what you and I do in this life for the kingdom, for Jesus, it counts both for now and also forever. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul writes, he says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, he says, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And the context of verse 58 has to do with the resurrection of Jesus and has to do with our resurrection. And what Paul is saying is this, that this is not the last chapter. That what you and I do now in this, your church, to serve the Lord, what you and I do for the kingdom, what you and I do to further the gospel, to build the kingdom, big things and little things, anything and everything that you and I do for the sake of the kingdom, it counts. And it counts both for now and forever. Because this is not the last chapter. There's another chapter coming when we are with Jesus forever. And the work, the kingdom work that you and I are involved in now, it's laying up treasure in heaven. And you know, the only thing that you and I can bring from this life to the next life are people that we have brought to Jesus Christ, are people that we have won to the Lord. That's the only thing that will leave and go from this life to the next life. People who came to know Jesus through our witness, through our testimony. And so it's exciting because everything that you and I do to serve Jesus, and it could be little things, it could be big things. It could be something relatively little as lighting the candles here on Sunday morning to getting the church ready for the worship service. Everything that you and I do for the Lord, it counts, both now and forever. And the day is coming when you and I will stand before Jesus and He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He sees and notices all that we do for the kingdom. And there's nothing that is too small, nothing that is too minor for Him not to say, "Well done." You know, in my church, when I pastored in Jersey, and it's just like in your church, there are some people who couldn't come out to church anymore. They were just too frail, too elderly, too weak. But they were prayer warriors. And they would pray for me, and they would pray for the church. And I'll tell you, their ministry of prayer is kingdom work that is powerful. And the Lord will say to them one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So friends, be encouraged and get involved in the ministry of Ronhurst Presbyterian Church even more, because what you do counts both now and forever. And the resurrection of Christ gives us that assurance. This is not all there is. This is not the last chapter. But there's another chapter coming. And you and I can actually send treasure ahead of us. And that's the good works, that's the service that we do for Jesus now in this life. So as Paul says, be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Christ. And then there's a fifth reason, fifth and final reason, why the resurrection of Christ is so important. It assures us that Jesus' salvation is perfect and complete. It assures us that Jesus' salvation is perfect and complete. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, and the two thieves were there, and one kept on mocking Jesus, the other one cried out to Jesus, "To have mercy upon me." And what does Jesus say to him? "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And what that means is that at the moment that that thief died, his physical body died, his soul went to be with Jesus. The moment that you and I die, our soul goes to be with Jesus, as I said in 2 Corinthians 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But what happens to our bodies? They go to the grave. They go to the grave. Unless you're cremated. But either way, your body becomes corrupted. It just fades away. It ceases to exist. And if it's in the grave, it decomposes. But Jesus died to save all of us. Every part of us. He died to save my soul. And praise the Lord that the moment I die, I go to be with Jesus. My spirit does. But what about my body? Well, the resurrection assures me that Jesus' salvation is for all of me, every single part of me. That one day, even my corruptible body will come out of that grave and it will be reunited with my spirit. And I'll have a brand new body, a glorified body. Still trying to figure out if it has hair. But I know that one day I'm going to get a brand new body. And I will be with Jesus forever. In this glorified body, with my glorified soul. And so the resurrection of Christ assures us that Jesus' salvation saves every part of us. Body, soul, and spirit. You know, there's a church in Virginia, and they decided to have a cemetery, to have a cemetery. And you know what they call the cemetery? Resurrection Acres. And they do not promise perpetual care. Because the Bible says that one day those bodies are going to come out of the grave, and they're going to be reunited with their souls that have gone on to be with Jesus. And so I thank the Lord that my body has value. It is important. That's why I go to the hospital and try to stay alive and try to take care of it as best as I can. because Jesus loves all of me, and his death and his resurrection saves all of me. So the resurrection of Christ is important. It's important because it proves to us that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God. The resurrection of Christ is important because it proves that Jesus has, in fact, paid for our sin in full. He defeated sin. Sin did not defeat Jesus. The resurrection of Christ is important because it proves that Jesus has defeated death. And so you and I, we don't have to be afraid of death. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, "For to me to live is Christ, and to what? To die is gain. Because I see my Jesus." And then fourthly, the resurrection of Christ assures us that what we do for the kingdom now, it counts, it matters. Jesus sees it, and it builds his kingdom. And it counts both today and also forever. And then fifthly, the resurrection of Christ assures us that Jesus Christ died for every single part of who I am. You know, in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead," and that's talking about our bodies, they're going to go to the grave. But he says, "though he were dead, yet shall he live." His body's going to rise again from the dead. But then Jesus goes on and he says, "And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Because at the moment of death, your spirit goes to be with Jesus, even though your body goes to the grave. But one day that body's going to rise too. So the resurrection of Jesus gives me the hope, gives me the comfort, gives me the joy that Jesus' salvation is perfect and complete. And he saved every single part of who I am. And I can praise him and celebrate his grace and his mercy and his goodness. Let us pray. Father, thank you that we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, it's fun to have Easter eggs that taste real good and to get new suits and dresses and back in my day to get hats that made you look pretty and were fun. But Lord, we thank you that the heart of Easter is the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you did rise from the dead, because your resurrection proves that you are who you say you are, that you have conquered sin, Satan, and death, that your resurrection, Lord, gives us the promise and the assurance that what we do now counts, both now and forever. And Lord, we thank you that your resurrection assures us that when we see bodies of loved ones go to the grave, that that's not their final resting place. That one day their bodies will be raised from the dead, will put on immortality, and they will be reunited with their spirit who's already in your presence, and they will become whole. So we praise you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our powerful, loving, resurrected God. Nothing could hold you down. And Lord, because of that, nothing can hold us down because of you. So bless us, give us joy, give us confidence, give us assurance, give us motivation to serve you to even greater lengths, because we know that whatever we do counts. And we pray this now with thanksgiving in the name of Christ, our living Redeemer. Amen.